$300. So I'm kind of in an iffy spot on, do I spend $300 and get the old phone fixed, or do I just wait a little longer, save up and get the new one?
We're good to go? Alrighty, like to call the meeting to order. If we have any citizens here, anyone else like to speak? Once, twice, three times? Alright, no citizens' comments.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, just so I can introduce to the committee, this is Janelle Twing, who's new to our office as of June, but not new to the county. She's been with the county since 2010?
Yes.
Came to us from the clerk of courts. As everybody knows, Michelle is out on leave, had her baby last month, and so Janelle's helping out.
Great, thank you.
Hi, Janelle.
And I'm just looking at the agenda, and I think maybe it's the roll call not on here, so.
Sure.
Youth and Governance?
Sarah Bryan.
Garrison Bryan.
Patrick Skirling.
Supervisor Daskey is here, Supervisor Uhouse, and Supervisor Hill are all here. Excused is Supervisor Lamble, Supervisor Nadleski, and Supervisor Poole are all excused. Reports to the chairperson. I guess we're part of on the agenda, as you guys saw. I just want to start going through some of the ordinances. Part of that is just going through things, getting educated over the last year and a half, and I realized how little I knew about certain different aspects of the ordinances and how they pertained and read and all, and how state statutes might get involved with that. So I thought we would review some, and then this will be something that we get added on to future legislative committee meetings. Is just understanding them a little bit more, and because we'll be addressing the ordinance one at some point in the coming months, so that was one I thought we'd look at so we can get educated at least on what it currently is, and then when we have it come up with some of the proposed changes, we can look at that. Just by chance, Chapter 2, what governs the county board. Joe had informed me that that was on the corporate council's list to look over in the near future, so it's sort of good timing on that as well. And so that is part of that, and I wanted to have something more on this agenda than just looking at the budget and going through that. So I don't have anything else at this point. I don't know if there's any reports or comments from any of the other supervisors. No? All right. I don't have any communications from anybody outside of this committee, so I have nothing to share there. Approval of the minutes. Someone make a motion to approve.
So I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Daskey. Any discussion? All in favor, Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Supervisors?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, we will roll right into the Corporate Council 2024 budget.
Good evening. Supervisors, not the Youth and Governance participants, supervisors have heard basically this presentation before, because the budget doesn't change very much from year to year for my office. I'll start off as I always do. First of all, I believe it looks like I see hard copies on the table. Additionally, if you're looking either in your book or online, I believe it starts at page 309 for the corporation council.
At least that's correct.
So first of all, just and again, I think you all know, but to get it out of the way up front, our office is six people. We have four attorneys and two assistants. However, you'll note that it lists that we've got 5.7 FTE for the office, and that's because a portion of both Jennifer Kopp, the first assistant's salary, as well as one of the two assistants, is covered by our liability line item because they deal with our insurer and that kind of, so, and it's just how the costs are assessed. But we do have six people in the office. That has been consistent going back at least till 2008 when I started, and for I think several years before that. So it really is a tale of stability and not an awful lot of change. The budget itself is very much, as I said, the same as last year. Looking at it, I believe that's a total budget of $910,870. It's about $25,000 over last year. The bulk of that, as well as the bulk of the budget itself, is in personnel costs. When you factor in salaries, insurance, retirement, workers' compensation, et cetera, that's about 88% of the entire office budget that's before you. The rest of it is taken up by what I guess I think of as discretionary spending, by which I mean those are numbers that I get to fill in, but they haven't changed again for a number of years. I could go down line by line if people want me to, but I'll just highlight quickly. I think everyone has become much more familiar in the last couple of years, sadly for all of us, with the legal fees line. Legal fees are paid to outside counsel. We try to do as much as we can in-house. However, the world is getting more complicated. It is getting more litigious. And there are just times where either because there is an actual or perceived conflict, there is something that is complicated or specialized enough that it's probably not worth the time it would take someone in the office to get up to speed. It's something that has to be turned around very quickly, et cetera. We do work with outside counsel. Examples of some of the things that we have used it for in the last couple of years have been ethics investigations. I'm exceptionally glad that we didn't have any of those in 2023. Employment matters, again, typically things that we think may wind up in litigation or are extraordinarily involved. And again, to go back a couple of years, we had a high-ranking officer with the Sheriff's Department that had a significant discipline matter that went on. I started referring to it as an epic miniseries because it took about five nights in front of the Finance Committee for 3+ hours a night, and we had outside counsel for that. I do consult with the WCA on certain questions, either if it's something, again, novel or something that I'm just sort of trying to make sure that we're reviewing things. As Supervisor Thomas mentioned, we are in the midst of a review of Chapters 19 and 20, which is the county's ethics ordinance. And as an aside, I received a latest draft at the end of last week. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet, but my hope is that we will be bringing that before this body either November or December, because I would like to try and get that taken care of before the end of the year if possible. We also, a few years back, some of you who were on the board may remember, did a comprehensive review of the adult establishment ordinance as part of our zoning. Likewise, we had you know, some specialized people taking a look at that to make sure we were doing it right. And as was mentioned again by Supervisor Thomas, I've told a couple of people, but now I'll sort of announce, I guess, publicly and we'll repeat next week. I'm looking to do the same sort of process that we've done with the ethics ordinance on Chapter 2, the County Board Rules, next year. I think there hasn't been a comprehensive review, as far as I know, since I've been the Corporation Counsel. It's been sort of piecemeal. I think there's a significant value in having somebody outside take a look at it. Are we using best practices? Are there things that they are seeing or not seeing in other counties, and not have the inherent bias of, but we've always done it this way, you know. So I think there's some value in doing that, and that's my plan for 2024. Again, as far back as certainly I've been involved in the budget process, we've been seeking $40,000 a year for that outside council budget. Last year, the county executive added an additional $40,000 to that. This year she's adding 20, so the ask as approved by, or actually the ask was 40. The county executive's proposal is 60 in that line. The rest of it is pretty self-explanatory and also fairly small, but I'm certainly happy to answer any specific questions. I'll point out, as I did a couple years ago, again, just for sort of historical purposes, in late 2020, when the 2021 budget was being prepared, in part because, of course, everyone was doing some belt tightening because of COVID. Nobody knew exactly what life was going to look like going into 2021. I did look at some historical trends and did make cuts in a number of the budget items, you know, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, to more accurately reflect what spending tends to be. So that was done fairly recently. And with that, again, I'm happy to answer any questions that anyone on the committee might have about the office budget.
Does anyone have questions?
Yes, the only question I have is, there's two different budgets here. We've got the one that was handed out in the book budget, and then there's the agenda budget that has the column 7 executive adjustments. How come we don't have that copy on anything else? The one that has that line 7? There's actually 8 lines on here.
Well, there's a line 7 and a line 8.
Yeah, I've never seen this before. I like it.
Saying the one online doesn't have that, or the
agenda online has 2 additional lines. I don't know if it's your answer, but through the chair of legislative and maybe the chair of county board, there's a line 7 and a line 8, which is executive adjustments and an executive approved budget.
Sorry.
I took that right off of what the budget team gave me, so maybe I wasn't supposed to share it.
Oh,
so
that's what you handed out. And then this is the official copy. This is what went back to you when the county executive adjustments were made from what you had.
Then I apologize for sharing the wrong thing with the universe.
Well, no, I think this is in the future. This needs to be part of our.
What you have in front of you is after the budgets are submitted by the divisions and then they present to the county executive and we have conversations, then the county executive will approve personnel requests, will do, in this case, $40,000 was not enough for legal fees. Mm-hmm. We're concerned with other things going on, so she proposed increasing that. So then that's sent back to them, and those adjustments are then in that column. The final result is the budget, which is what is the public
sector. Yeah, sure. Makes sense. I would like to, Mr. Chair, ask that on the next agenda for next month that we address this so that we have this copy. I'd love to know, and I'm sure everybody else would like to know, you know, where we decided to move dollars around. So, okay. Appreciate it. And with that, I have no other questions.
Do we have the 8 column copy?
The 7 and 8 column.
That we look at to approve? I think
that. Look at that. That's what we get in the future.
Right. Okay. No, fair enough. All right. The expanded version.
Right.
Yeah.
With that, I got nothing else. I've done this for 8 years with you. I'm tired of it.
Youth and governance, do you have any questions?
No, thank you.
Anyone else? I've got a couple of things because you reference in it, again, last year being new to all this, I didn't look, but I actually looked up what chapter 51, 54, and 55 were. And some questions on that, but then if I remember correctly, the reason we bumped up the budget $40,000 last year was to deal with the Jensen trial. Were we expecting?
No, that would be the district attorney's budget, not mine.
Okay, that was okay. Yeah. I thought there was... For some reason, I thought that's why that was that jump. Were we anticipating something else that made that jump last year?
I mean, I think, I think the ethics ordinance review was one thing. I think just sort of seeing how things had gone over the past couple of years, the county executive said, let's put a little bit more in there, so there's a bit of a cushion.
Okay, all right. And then, correct me if I'm wrong again, because I'm only remembering bits and pieces. Was there some part of that rolls over to 1 year to the next?
So there is language in the budget, and there was some discussion about it last year, but there is language in the budget that indicates that if there is money left over in that line item, yes, it rolls over to the next year. We were very fortunate for a number of years that we didn't use it or didn't have to use it as much, and it had rolled over to a reasonable amount. Then there was a glitch, and it wound up... going back into the general fund, it wasn't caught as part of rollover and closeout, and so now that language remains in the budget. Whether we will have anything at the end of the year to roll over, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at where, you know, I don't know. Do you anticipate anything before now and the end of the year that would, I mean, this is only halfway through, you know, and they're giving us a projected of 42,000, you know, to fulfill it. Do you think you'll be over? over?
I don't anticipate being over, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
As I think I may have said last year, and I don't mean to sound flip, you know, but you go back to Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld's comment when the Iran war was getting started. You know, you have your known knowns, your known unknowns, and then your unknown unknowns, and that obviously is the problem that, you know, anybody could file a lawsuit against us at any time that couldn't something be not covered by insurance, and that we would have to decide how we're going to handle it. So.
Sure. All right. So, in saying that, is it of benefit to have, I'll call it, you know, that rollover amount at a certain amount every year? You know, I mean, like, you know, and I don't know what that amount was previously that ended up getting depleted because of the known unknown or unknown unknown. Is there a benefit to having that? Because if it would be to go over, then we would have to come back and ask for an adjustment to the budget, right? Some point during the year to ask for more money.
If I'm understanding your question correctly, you're saying, is there a benefit in having the rollover?
Correct.
I think there's a benefit in having the rollover because, like you said, it may be that you know, there's a year where, you know, please God, we don't have to use it at all or use it very much, and then there, you know, maybe another year where we're hit with a major ethics investigation, a lawsuit, and, you know, some sort of HR issue that we need to recuse ourselves from for whatever reason, you know, all happening in one year. You know, so I mean, it's I certainly think there's value in having that and having the idea that if we don't use it, we can just, you know, sort of keep it in the pot for the following year. I'm certainly not adverse if we get back to that point to discussing whether there's value in having a cap, you know, and say anything right up to this point rolls over, anything doesn't reverts. But again, I don't want to seem cynical or pessimistic. I'm not sure I'm going to see that in the next couple of years, just because I do think things are getting more complicated and more litigious.
Well, that's why I'm asking. So, Patty, do you know if there is a rollover from 2022 that went into 2023?
There was not.
There
has been no rollover of legal funds for a period of time, several years. And I know it was discussed at length last year, but I kept trying to tell people, it would matter if there was a rollover, but we knew that he wasn't going to have a rollover.
Right.
And honestly, I'm not anticipating he will have any funds to roll over this year.
Okay. So do you think that was, and I don't know because I haven't had this conversation, do you think that was part of the executive wanting to add the $20,000 so we could start that process of having some potential amount to be rolled over?
I don't think that was the case. I think it was more of a concern that he has gotten very close, if not gone over his $40,000 for a couple of years, and $40,000 isn't the magic number at this point, but we still don't know that it's not going to. So I think that there are some things on the horizon that might involve additional outside people, and a review of the board rules being one of them.
And one of the things I'll say too, it is very much a status quo budget. A lot of these numbers I inherited from my predecessor. A few of them have been tweaked. As I said, the only significant number that I change is, I always add $2,500 to the books line because everything's going to get more expensive. So the $40,000 is also something that I inherited the first time I did a budget in 2014 or 2015. I don't know how many years before that had been the standard. Legal fees also have gone up in price. You know,
that was my
again,
next question.
I certainly haven't made any changes on my own to that line to reflect that. So
in saying that, what do we? I know attorneys charge different amounts on what they're asked to do and who we ask. But what would be that average hourly rate that we're paying someone for either advice or to look at something, just a second set of eyes, or where we actually have to turn something over to somebody?
I don't know that I can.
$250, $300 an hour?
I would, if I had to guess, I'd probably say three. But I mean, again, I'd strictly be guessing without doing some.
Okay, so
some
really
research.
You know, if I can do the math in my head, at $42,000, we're only talking about 140 hours of work. It's not a lot, especially for a legal firm. That's not even 3 hours a week if you want to break it down that way. And it sounds like you're capping out at that right now. I mean, right, Patty? If there's no rollover, then we're using every available fund.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I guess I feel comfortable with the 62 because it's almost a 50% increase than what we have. So that gives us more than what we have this current year of 42. 62 gives us, you know, 2,200 and some hours of legal advice. So, okay. All right.
And I'm sorry, did you say you wanted me to speak to what 51, 54?
Oh, no, yeah. I just had some notes. If no one knew what those were exactly, I actually printed some off. We actually have a nice little 76-page thing on chapter 50. I did not print out all 76 pages. I did print out 10, though, because
it's good reading.
I need the really bold print. But yeah, if you want to talk about, just so people know the things that are coming across, and you can let us know if the caseload is getting heavier or lighter in these given areas.
Well, can I make a motion to adopt his budget as presented?
Second.
Yeah, you can.
First. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Unless there's any other discussion.
I just had one quick question about budget. I know I talked to you.
There's
about
a motion on the floor. There's a motion on the floor.
So we're just discussing that.
Was there a second?
Yes.
I didn't hear. Okay, so there's a first and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Go ahead. So just in your departments, obviously there's been increased records requests and that kind of stuff. Do you have any numbers as far as what that has cost your department in the past year or two as far as ballpark?
I mean,
a lot of it's man hours, some of it's materials.
Yeah, I mean, the best I could say is I know, for example, there was one request that everyone on the board is familiar with, there went everybody on the board, that wound up taking approximately a full week of my time doing very little else. It was probably ultimately about 10,000 printed sheets that got, you know, sorted and scanned and sent out to the various supervisors. For various reasons, we have not always charged for some of these public records responses, and particularly as the world has shifted away from physical copies into electronic, everybody wants things sent electronically. It's harder to say what the cost of an electronic copy is than a hard copy. I could speak at great length about how the absolute and obvious merits of the public records law have to be weighed against the fact that it is at this point a 40-plus-year-old law that has in no way kept up with modern technology and the way of the world. So I guess that's a very long-winded and attorney way of saying I don't know that I've got a solid number, but I would say that it's we've had a couple of very large ones. Most of them don't take that much time, but I mean it certainly is time that has to be spent reviewing and redacting as necessary. Redaction is something we can't charge for under any circumstances.
Okay. And just some thoughts, because obviously you don't have revenue in your department, but there needs to be a tipping point at some point where any requests over this amount will need to be billed at whatever the standard rate is, just to help recoup some of those costs, because they have been quite extensive, as I believe. So that's all my questions about that.
So to go back to Chairman Thomas's question.
I mean, we can address that, but if we want to, well, we can make it part of the discussion. I guess we're still going to vote on it at some point anyway. So, but yeah, I think it would be good for us to know what the caseload is looking like. And,
So obviously the I did actually revamp the activities and the goals and objectives page a little bit this year. So if you are feeling bored, you can look at that. So there are four attorneys in the office. My job is primarily to work with the board and the county executive, as well as a couple of other departments. So that's why you guys see me staffing this committee, working at the board meetings, etc. Jennifer Kopp, the deputy, does a lot of work with IT. The sheriff's department is our liaison to our insurance company. Works considerably with human resources. John Moyer, who some of you may or may not know, works a fair amount with Public Works, with planning and development, parks, does a lot of the tax deed work for the county, working with the clerk's office on that process. And then our fourth and newest attorney is Jennifer Fahn. She came to us from the district attorney's office about 15, 16 months ago, and she handles primarily this other category, 51, 54, 55. Chapter 51 is the chapter on civil mental commitments, individuals who are deemed to be dangerous to themselves or others because they're suffering from a mental health situation. Chapter 54 and 55 are the chapters on guardianships and protected placements, related but a little bit different. And so she spends most of her time working with Human Services, with KHDS, the contracted agency that we have that handles these, as well as being in court working on these commitment and guardianship hearings. She also works with DCFS, handling some of their stuff, and a few other sort of random things as well. Caseload, has the caseload increased? Yes. I mean, I think the short answer is yes, probably in most of those areas. I think we are seeing more 51s filed, but it is interesting in my 15 years now, it does kind of ebb and flow. They're trying to use more diversion programs to keep people out of the court system when possible. And that's one of the things that she's doing. Because we, a couple years ago, added a new arrow to our quiver for the tax deed process, we now have a process as approved by the board and put in an ordinance a few years ago where we can, and I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but it's the in rem process. We can take a whole bunch of them to court basically at once, but it's very upfront work intensive because it's a lot of notice and a lot of filing stuff that has to be prepared to make sure that we've done everything we need to do before we go to court and ask the court to essentially sign off on the transfer. So yes, I mean, I think workloads are up, but I mean, I also think, speaking with as little ego as possible, that I am incredibly fortunate to work with three incredibly gifted and talented attorneys, as well as two very, very fine support people. I joke that District Attorney Gravely and I have a good-natured argument going on as to which one of us has the best law office in the county, but I know which one I think it is. So,
so
take a vote on that.
I'll second the motion if it is necessary.
So, I don't know. That's what so I'm asking this question. Do we work with the juvenile court intake through DCFS?
Not really. No. Again, without getting too far into the weeds, many years ago, one of my predecessors sort of cut a deal with the district attorney's office where they took the juvenile stuff. So they have the Chapter 48 stuff, which is gyps and chips, right, as well as the juvenile delinquency things. We have the mental commitments, and then child support is its own. So, and there's two or three attorneys that work for child support, but again, that's a separate entity to itself. So
losing parental rights, that falls within?
District Attorney's Office.
District Attorney's Office,
yes,
as well.
Yep.
Yeah. I just didn't
yep.
know how far, because I didn't study this. I just
yep.
printed it
yep.
off.
No, that's
I didn't
all
know how far
the
guardianship
office.
And conservatorship
yeah.
and protective services went. So
yep.
you don't get involved with that aspect.
We do not. No, that's
well.
All the District Attorney's Office.
Okay. All right. Okay. And like, what would be a normal caseload in a given year under these three chapters? I mean, is it 100 a year?
I don't know. I apologize.
I mean, it's not important. I mean,
yeah.
I guess, you know, for this budget purpose, I'm just curious
yeah.
if we're seeing the trend going up and there might be a need to add.
Just, I mean, because you work with it. I mean, like, what was the most recent number we have? You know, so we're 9.5 months into the year. What's the most recent ME number?
The ME number is 167 for the adults, 19 for the juveniles. They have different case numbers. Guardianships were on 104. Some of those might be private,
right.
so
yeah.
maybe 90.
And then in addition to the 167 would be new filings, so that doesn't factor in either people that have been previously on a commitment and are back because they just use the same number and put a letter off for it, or people that are currently on a commitment from a previous year that we're still dealing with. So.
Okay, so it's several hundred though. Yeah.
Yes, because the extensions.
Yeah. Right. Okay. I mean,
take
it's,
extra.
It's, and that's mostly falling on the new.
Yes.
was her name Dawn? Is that
Jennifer Fawn.
Jennifer Fawn. Okay. All right.
Very confusing. We have two Jennifers in the office.
All right. Okay. Is there any other discussion or questions? Is it okay if we just take a voice vote on this? Hi. All in favor of the proposed 2024 budget, say aye.
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 Opposed? All right. Budget passes. All right. Thank you. So I don't, I'll just start with number two, because that's first what time we had. Okay, don't know if anyone had a chance to look through this or not, or you have it up on your iPad. I'm a paper guy, probably reflective of my age.
You said it, not me.
Or reflective of my hairline, I don't know, one of those two. When I grow up, I'll have Gaskies hair, I think. But I was just in chapter two has to do with the Corny County Board rules of procedure, and the very first thing they have on here are the Robert Rules of Order, and one of the things that they've become, I guess, I don't know, for me is prior to getting elected, I hadn't done Robert Rules of Order since I was in college and running different meetings there, so. Prior to doing this, I watched about 4 hours of YouTube and did some research and so forth. And then the last WCA, I know Andy and I were in there. I don't know if anyone else was, but it was an hour and a half. Actually, there's back-to-back sessions on Robert Rules of Order. And going through that, all I realized how much I still didn't know. And even sitting through all the board meetings and committee meetings, there was still a lot I didn't know. So one of the ideas I had, and part of the conversation I had earlier was, figuring out how we could educate the board a little bit more on some of the details of that. And one of the ideas I had, and we'll work on this going forward and somehow, is that we get everybody a copy of Robert Rules of Order, and then everyone will have that. Then anybody that's newly elected would have a copy of that going forward. And then quarterly, we can maybe as a legislative committee pick out a couple topics within Robert Rules of Order, and then we'll set up a special meeting and educate. It wouldn't be like an open meeting type of thing. It would be an educational meeting. We wouldn't be voting on anything or having an agenda. We would just deal specifically with those given topics on Robert Rules of Order. I think it would assist in how the flow of meetings go on committee levels, county board levels. Maybe reduce the number of times Joe gets asked questions during a county board meeting. But that was just one of the things that I picked up on this, is how could we better educate ourselves to operate meetings better and be better educated on that. So that was one of the things I pulled away with looking at this more closely. The other things that, I don't know if you guys are, feel free just to, if you have comments on what I'm saying, just feel free to speak up, because I want to take notes of what you guys, your thoughts are as well as we go through this.
Mr. Chair, along the lines of having informational or training sessions, the University of Wisconsin Extension has done a number of like introduction to parliamentary procedure and quick and easy reference guides. And so UW Extension, both Kenosha County and other counties have some of those resources available already. So if you go to UW Extension or local government education, there's some resources along those lines that you may find helpful.
Okay, so we can work with them and stuff that's already pre-done. Okay, excellent. Okay. All right. Any other thoughts on that first aspect? So the other thing.
I have one. I'm not sure where in the code it falls. Yeah. This may be a question for Corporation Council, but I'm just curious about why we adjourn Sendai twice in a year. I know it affects a lot of our resolutions ending and all that kind of stuff. I'm not sure if that's a municipal thing in chapter 2 or if that's somewhere else, but I'm just kind of curious the reasoning behind that, if it's later in the discussion.
No, go ahead. There's no order to this, just so you know.
So the short answer, and I'm making notes to myself. So the short answer to that is another thing that I, I'll say, inherited from my predecessors, and I think the thought process was, as weird as it sounds, we have two meetings during the year, and we have the organizational meeting that starts every April and goes until November, and then we have an annual meeting that starts in November and goes into April. And the thought is that those are adjourned from time to time, i.e. till the next time we get together. But that's why we're adjourning Sendai, is indicating that's, and the annual and the organizational meeting, those are statutory. Those are listed in chapter 59 of the statutes in terms of how the board meets. The idea being that not every county meets twice a month like we do. There are some of the smaller counties that may only meet once a month, once every couple months, depending on how much business they have to do and how they're set up. But they are required to meet, once to organize after elections, and then, once in November to pass a budget, or in the fall to pass a budget. My predecessors looked at that as the meetings were, in their mind, sort of similar to legislative sessions. And so when that meeting was done, they viewed it as things were finished, and then we would start over. We actually codified that in Chapter 2 a few years back to indicate that we would adjourn Sendai at the end of those meetings and that stuff would be finished. I will tell you that is not uniform across the state. There are counties that don't handle it that way. There are some counties, I think, that consider the Sendai to be at the year point rather than the six-month point. I think there are some counties that consider the Sendai to be the life of the board, so 2 years. There are, in my way of thinking, good and bad aspects of different things. The adjournment Sendai can create some challenges as things sort of back up against them. On the other hand, it also means that if it provides additional opportunities for something to be brought back to the board if necessary. For example, if we were to look at the full 2-year term of the board as being the meeting, then under the rules that say, once something has been acted on or defeated, it can't be brought back until the next session, you could be looking at, a year and a half before an issue could be readdressed for whatever reason. Again, I'm not saying there's a good, bad, or indifferent. I'm just sort of talking generally about the process. Having said that, again, knowing that there isn't a uniform approach, it is definitely one of the things that I would have as part of the study of the rules is like, does this make sense? Should we be doing it at the year point rather than 6 months? Should we be doing it at the end of the sitting board? Is there?
Yeah, I mean, that certainly is a supervisor that's been very confusing trying to figure out, stuff dying mid-year and trying to juggle all that. So, yeah, I would hope that we could review that and maybe find a little bit better solution if it's annually. I was at WCA, talked to several other counties, and they're like, yeah, ours is every 2 years, or ours is every 1 year, and it definitely made a little bit more sense than twice a year that we have. It would just be a lot easier to plan on stuff if it was annually. So my question, that is in this chapter too.
Currently.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Do you have another?
And then what would it take to, as far as say, as a board, obviously the committee would have to decide first, but getting that changed, does it have to go through legislative committee, or does it go through, would it, if not a part of a larger overhaul, would it just be a resolution to make that change? What would the steps be to, quote unquote, fix that?
Sure. So the rules are an ordinance, they indicate that they can be changed by a 2/3 vote of the board, and I don't remember off the top of my head if it's 2/3 of the full board or 2/3 of the people present. It's probably 2/3 of the full board, but I wouldn't swear to that without looking it up. So, I mean, any aspect can be changed, and there have been times over the past 8-9 years where we have made small changes to Chapter 2. However, my thought would be that, you know, we would have one, again, probably large proposal that would take a look at everything, and hopefully would be something that could get, you know, if not unanimous support, then close to it, you know, for the board to say that, you know, this is going to be the rules going forward.
That's all I have for
us. Okay. Anyone else have any questions on that topic? No? Okay. All right. Good question. Thank you. Okay. All right. So, and then if you go to, I'm on page 2-3, where it's just this 2.05 standing committees, you know, and it just sort of lists underneath each committee what they're responsible for, who's underneath them. It references state statutes within, you know, within each one, if it's applicable. One of the ones that stuck out for me, like in the Finance and Administration Committee, was risk management. And I don't know what that meant exactly. There's risk management throughout the whole county, but there's not a county board-wide or a county-wide risk management process that I'm aware of. I mean, we look at roads and we decide if we need a stop sign, a two-way stop sign, a four-way stop sign, stoplights, a flashing stoplight, you know, or a flashing stop sign, or if we need a roundabout. So we go through that in different departments. I don't know how that gets more spread out in different departments, so there's consistency in those type of things. And I don't know if that's part of the Finance Committee to determine that or where that goes through, but they, you know, they deal with the insurance aspect of things as well. And on the insurance, I'm sure that's everything from workman's comp to liability insurance to whatever else that we're self-insured on, you know. So, and that was just one thing that stuck out to me on there. You know, I don't know, like on the one thing here, it says, you know, they can take actions on that does not exceed $5,000. I don't know when that number was last, how old that figure is, you know, if that's something that, you know, needs to be reflected on or not, or even how often something like that comes up that we have to deal with. You know, and then the next one deals with judiciary and the law enforcement committee. You know, and then we have the Public Works and Facilities Committee. Then we have the Planning and Development, and you know, they specifically in the Public Works, they spell out the Kemper Center and the Historical Society, and more point out a couple of those buildings. And even there within, you know, with that, there, since we have a committee, in all the state statutes are referenced more, in some areas are reference a Parks Commission, and not exactly the same language that we have in referring to this. And then, you know, and then the Planning and Development Extension Education Committee, in which we have part of corporate counsel, is it Moyer, Attorney Moyer, that, you know, he deals exclusively with that. I don't know when this has been updated, but there's certainly, if it was 2018, we've had a fair amount of growth since then in the county, and maybe some of these things need to be looked at as well. So, and then Human Services Committee, which Supervisor Stock is overseeing. It's just, you know, this is, seems like a very small aspect compared to what they do. You know, it's only one paragraph. And everything that they go, you know, that they oversee, when, you know, it's at the probably the single largest part of our budget as far as a department. Then we have the Executive Committee and then the Legislative Committee. You know, so I'm just looking through some of these things, and then I just went to, this is on page 6. If you guys are scrolling along, it just had general duties and powers of the committee. You know, some of the things, you know, I think we just do naturally, but don't look at it. But, you know, each standing committee shall study, conduct investigations, make recommendations, shall perform such other duties as the county board may from time to time direct relative to their areas of responsibility. I'm not sure how often we actually do studies as a committee or do investigations as a committee, or I don't know if recommendations.
But it's not a rule of procedure.
It's not, the way things get docketed.
I don't know how to turn this off.
I think in our meeting here with call to order, are there any citizen comments?
Where's your value?
We'll move on then to
Is there an offer?
Reports of the chair, and I had Molly, are there any committee reports?
Mr. Chairman, I could say that we made progress on the two resolution.
There you go, volume off.
Opened up another tab of the finance committee meeting and it started playing.
I had one question pertaining to this. It says, and make recommendations. And Joe, this would be a question for you. How would a recommendation differ from a resolution?
I will say with sincerity and candor, that's language that, again, predates me. I can't say for sure what the intent may have been. I suspect that it may have been in relation to a report or a study. I'm trying to think. Several years ago, we had a feasibility study that was done on at least one of the golf courses, but I don't know that it was actually done by a committee. I think it was done by an outside entity and then reviewed by a committee.
Could we just say it's something less formal than a resolution? It doesn't have to go through a process.
I would note with that, I mean, the way the board acts is through resolutions and ordinances. So, I mean, I don't know that it would be, I think it might be more if, I'm struggling to think of what an example would be of a recommendation from a committee as opposed to.
I don't know.
That's what acting,
Would a recommendation be to accept the presentation given by so-and-so from Human Services?
Technically, I think they're making a recommendation to the board that the board passes.
Pass things, yeah.
That's what the vote is on. Is on recommendation.
Yeah, that just sort of stuck out. I didn't know what it meant, just little things like that. Because if you go to on that same 5C, it says each standing committee may refer matters relating to their areas of responsibility to the county board in order to sign a resolution or ordinance as a committee member, supervisor, and attendance. So that's, it didn't say recommendation in there. So that's, it didn't carry forward from one to the other. So that's just things I have highlighted. The other thing that I don't know if this has ever been used. Maybe it was, and that's why it's in here, or it gives the ability. Each standing committee shall endeavor to respond to citizens' comments and inquiries when requested by the citizens. It's always been my understanding is that we don't respond to citizens, but here it's saying if they request us to do it, we can.
What are you on?
Oh, no, I'm on page 27 on D.
And again, my thought on that would be more if somebody came and had a specific sort of question or concern, it is something theoretically that a committee could try and work with the appropriate staff to answer.
The way this reads, it's not very clear. So if someone came and then they asked, would that be just something that we say, okay, we can address that, but it might be at the next meeting?
I think potentially.
Obviously, I don't think.
But again, it's,
we don't want to have questions going back and forth. But see, that's like one of these areas I'm looking through this that, okay, it doesn't make sense from how we are typically doing things. So, and then the next one, then there's another one, let's see, on E, and maybe you can give some reference to this. Each standing committee shall have the power to subpoena in accordance with the Wisconsin state statutes. Has there ever been a case where we've had a committee that's had to subpoena somebody that you're aware of? Or
I'm not aware of any instances. I believe it may have been discussed at one point, but I don't know that it's ever been since I've been here, I don't know there's ever been a situation where it's occurred.
Yeah, is that a requirement by state statutes that we have it?
Having said that, and I wish Patty was still in here, I don't recall if we issued subpoenas when we were having the hearing on former Captain Beth, and if those were subpoenas that were issued by the committee or if they were issued by the attorneys involved. In theory, the Finance Administration Committee can act as a quasi-judicial body for certain personnel matters. It may have issued subpoenas for that purpose. In terms of other committee work, again, I'm not aware of any instances where a committee has subpoenaed someone. They've just invited folks.
Yeah, okay. So just out of curiosity, since you referenced that one, so if that subpoena, is that generally would go through another, would be outside of corporate counsel, go through a law firm to issue that subpoena then?
And again, I don't recall if the, it may have been that the attorneys subpoenaed their own people, their own witnesses, in which case it didn't come through the county, it didn't come through the committee or our office.
It was part of the report that they did. Okay. Anyone else have any comments as we're going through this? Yeah, I just, and then I had a, this is on page 9. And this just had to do with number 8, and it just had to do with supervisors' reports, announcements, and referrals. And this is dated, must have been in addition to the ordinance or an update at some point, because it's dated April 12th of 2005. And it just pertains to citizens' comments in the county board meetings on, I guess, what the supervisors can share during that, supervisors' reports and announcements and referrals. So this predates you, right? So I was just, the reason that stuck out for me is I was looking at some of the dates and some of them don't have dates at all, and that one does. So I'm assuming it was updated at that time. Is something like that, is that still based upon 18 years later? I don't know if you're looking at what I'm looking at. Okay. Is that something that is still reflective of how most counties do that? Do you know?
I don't, and again, yeah, that would be okay. Some of the value in having somebody else look at it. I think there's, I guess I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, okay. All right, anyone else on that one?
I have a question on number 6 under meetings.
Which number 6?
2.06 meetings. And I believe Joe, you and I had a conversation about this before, but it specifically calls out any all reports, resolutions, ordinances, communications to be presented to the board shall be filed with the county board secretary no later than 10 a.m. on the Friday preceding the board meeting. But there does seem to be, and this is what you and I talked about, there's it lacks language on deadlines for committee meetings for the following week. I think that is something that would be helpful if that were cleared up, if there was some sort of a standard, because it's, while it's there for the board meeting, agendas, it's not there for the committees, and that would be helpful if we had that clarity.
I don't want to disagree. I'll also point out the language that you were just reading about the board agendas, I do think is and again, I'm not in any way, shape, or form casting judgment one way or another. I think that is I'll say somewhat antiquated language, in that the idea was that they wanted to make sure that there was a copy of whatever the materials were going to be available to the public by 10 a.m. the Friday before a board meeting. We obviously now put everything up online. Things are available much more freely than they were when this was drafted. Again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having that kind of a deadline, but it may or may not still be relevant in terms of making sure there's sufficient public access. So.
And the one thing that I know that was brought, that's being brought up in the ethics ordinance is adding commissions to that. Is that something that you think, when we revamp this, that commission members and how commissions are run should be included?
I think there is language that indicates that these rules cover It says to the board, its committees, and all boards and commissions of Kenosha County government, it could be probably further clarified as to.
Yeah, because I would just think that a commission, I'll just use this, the one that Andy and I are on, we don't have any ability to do really any of these things as far as we can only make recommendations. So it may be on some of them it defines where the Brookside on, theirs is a little bit more definitive in what they can do and the power they have. And I don't exactly know where joint services falls in with this. And since that's a shared type of thing, but Supervisor Uhas is the chair, just questions that rattled around in a half empty brain. So. So here's the other one. This is on page 10, and it's number 5. And I remember asking a question briefly about this some time ago, but this has to deal with all resolutions, ordinances, reports shall be filed and indexed cumulatively with the said file index reflecting the subject matter and the number of the report, resolution, page number, etc. And I don't think we have something that's easily like a Dewey Decimal System. You guys remember that? John probably does.
Yeah, they don't even produce anything that makes that houses Dewey Decimal System.
No, I know that. But is there a way that the public or a county board supervisor or anyone can look up a subject matter on past resolutions?
And as I think I indicated before, not that I'm aware of. I'm also not sure whether the clerk's office is still doing a yearly proceedings published in that way. I'd have to check with them.
Okay.
Yes.
They are? Okay.
Yes. And as of last year, they began publishing the proceedings online.
Okay.
Right. So it's better.
Oh, no, that's okay. Just...
It was new. It was something that they had put on, that they were published in a book previously, and they published them online and have made an effort to go back and publish previous years.
Okay. So I'll just ask you the question then. Is there a way that you can do a search on a like 2016 resolutions passed, or does it have to be by a resolution of a subject or a resolution number?
You'd have to search the proceedings for that year with a key.
Okay.
All right. So you do have to kind of have a year in which to start.
That's all the highlighted stuff I had that made me think. I don't know if anyone else has any other questions on the chapter 2 part of things. No. All right. We'll go to the chapter 20. And this is the ethics code for officials and employees. So I don't know if anyone had a chance to look it over. I have any questions on this before I look through my highlighted things? No. I guess the first thing that this sort of stuck out for me as I was just looking is on 20-2-3, and that was the obligations to citizens. And this deals with all persons shall be treated fairly, impartially, and without discrimination in accordance with, all kinds of language on there. In the last, was this whole document updated in 2010 or just parts of it? I mean, there's 2010 on the bottom of every page, but I
don't know. I'll just be honest.
Yeah, okay. So I guess just looking through this, because as Joe indicated earlier, he wants to get this to us probably November so we can pass it and submit it to the county board in December, correct?
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah. So I just think I knew that was coming. I didn't know it was going to be quite so soon. that we should get familiar with what it is currently, so when they, when we have this at the next meeting, it sounds like we'll have the new one. I think that will come from the executive committee. We'll be reviewing it as well. I guess just to get us better educated on it, so if we had any concerns in looking through it, that we could bring those up now instead of the next meeting, and maybe delay the process now if we want to try to close the book on this before the end of the year. So that was the first one, and I don't know if there's things that have come up that you've heard from other counties or from the WCA where different aspects of this other than what we've already done, that since we met and asked those questions, that things in here that we should be more aware of?
I mean, not that I know off the top of my head. I know that Attorney Hall has produced a sort of red line, and also that the his intent was rather than having two separate codes, one for the board and one for other elected officials and employees, to have one ethics code for the county, so fold it into one chapter. I don't know for sure, but I think that back in the midst of time, and I say this with a little tongue-in-cheek, it was a lot easier for the county board to approve Chapter 20 that applied to everyone else than it was for them to approve Chapter 19. So, but there aren't significant differences between the chapters other than differences in the way potential violations are handled. And I think Attorney Hall is trying to find a way to sort of marry those processes into one rather than having separate ones.
I really didn't have anything else on this other than to try to plant some seeds to look at before our next meeting and go forward. I'll save the other ordinance for another time. I don't know if there's anything else that anyone had, or Andy shaking his head. Anyone else have anything they like to discuss? All right. So if there's no other business, take care of youth and governance. Do you have any comments, questions? All is good.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you all.